You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, everybody. It is Monday evening. Time for American Whiner on podcastdetroit.com, Studio 3. How's everybody doing? I am still fucking buzzing from the road rage that I had trying to get here. They have the left lane blocked off on 696 for construction anyway, but then in addition to that, they had some cops had were doing some drug bust of some kind, they had another car freaking pulled over, and they blocked off the whole left lane in addition to the construction, like a good mile and a half before the construction started. And I really want to know what was in that yellow truck. It usually takes me about an hour to get here. I usually leave an hour and a half, and then it takes me about an hour, and I have half an hour of sitting around doing nothing. Today, I got here right after 7. So still coming down from that. I have my Diet Coke, and going to try and focus my thoughts here. But anyway, my guest tonight is a good friend of mine. We have a bit of an unconventional show tonight because usually this is Musician Monday, and I have a musician guest on. And we do our one-on-one interviews and wine and all that bullshit. But today, I have my very good friend, Don Woolley, is the very first returning guest on American Whiner.
Such an honor.
Yeah, kind of appropriate.
I was going to ask if I was the first.
You are, man. It was totally unplanned. Totally unplanned, but I'm glad you're here. And I feel bad. The reason I bring up the traffic is because you just came from Dexter. Yeah. And I had to come from Wixom, and you hauled ass, and you got here like half an hour before me.
I was worried I was going to be late and ruin your show.
Well, it's funny. I texted you. You didn't even need to worry about I ruined my show, so you didn't even need to
that's
worry
good.
About
that's
it.
Good. Well, as long as you ruin it.
Yeah. It's fine. Like it's mine to ruin, right? So, yeah. Today's kind of an unconventional. Deal because we're not really going to whine so much as we are going to discuss a particular beloved piece of intellectual property that we both.
So it's like the second time you're going to drag positivity out of me.
Yeah, and like show. You're like the
supposed to come here to whine, which is what I do about everything anyway.
I know you're like the least you know likely person you know to for me to. To have that happen with, you know, like
well, thank you, Alex.
I don't mean that in a negative way, but like, I just
it just sounded negative.
It did, didn't it? But anyway, so I guess we'll just jump right into it. What we're going to talk about is Stephen King's It, in particular, the new movie adaptation that just came out. I think 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah, this was the second weekend. It did really well this weekend again.
It did. It has broken a whole bunch of records.
Yeah, it's already on the second week. It's like the highest grossing Stephen King adaptation.
Yes,
I think.
Yep, I heard about that. It's the highest grossing R. I think it's right behind Deadpool actually for the highest grossing R rated movie ever.
That's great.
Too. I don't know. It may have passed it.
That to keep happening over.
Yeah. Keep making the money because that's the only way that these movies are going to get made.
Yeah, because it seems like sometimes the only way you even get the smallest amount of creative freedom is when these guys get their R rating.
Yeah, because right. Well, they don't have to worry about being PG-13 and right. Literally,
they don't have to worry about having black blood instead of red blood.
Yeah. They can say fuck as many times as they like, just like
which
people
is great.
Do in real life.
That's highbrow. That's what I like.
It is. Well, that's how people talk, you know, especially when they're being chased by a monster or something. So
that's true. That's true.
But I actually really – one of the things I liked about this movie was the kids cussed constantly, just like I did as a
kid. Well, and they do in the book, right? I mean, they're foul-mouthed children in the book.
Yeah.
And they – you know, I mean, you'd say they captured that. They really captured the cursing. But yeah, it's fine, and they should, right? Because that's if you think back to when you were 11 years old and you were hanging out with your friends. I mean, there were definitely some F-bombs being dropped.
Yeah, that's how you talk. That's just how you talk.
I mean, especially if a fucking clown was trying to kill you.
Yes,
you would certainly be dropping some F-bombs.
Yes, definitely. Right? Well, I guess I should mention the book. It is my favorite book ever. it is it's so good that I can barely articulate. It's such an epic, perfect story that it's impossible to encapsulate everything about it. And we were talking about this the other day. We hung out yesterday, actually, and you said really the only way to adapt it properly is to do like a 2-season series.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix or HBO or something like yeah. that.
And this was successful enough that I know we probably won't get that yeah. for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Another couple generations.
Yeah. I mean, they'll make the second movie and it'll be great. And then they'll try to do some fucking third movie.
Like, yeah, I hope they don't, doing, man. Right? I hope that we don't get that announcement in the next month that they're splitting
it'll be like
the second movie up.
You know, the interval before the kids.
Yeah.
And then just for no reason other than to just have a horror film, right?
You know what I would be okay with if they decided to expand it is if they did the interludes. If they showed each dairy interlude, because the book is structured where it's you have the book.
I mean, I could see that as a show, like where, you know, each season was like a different timepiece.
Yeah, a right? different event, yeah.
But I mean, even then, it's kind of, you know, I'd rather see them adapt the book.
Tightly.
Not that this wasn't good. This was probably as good as a movie adaptation of this story could ever be,
mm-hmm.
right? But, you know, I'd like to see it drawn out for 24 hours of television.
Yeah, there's so much to get into. That the way the book is structured is you have it takes place in the 1950s and the 1980s. You have in the 1950s when they're kids, obviously, and then it's spliced in with all these different interludes, which are narrated by Mike Hanlon, who's the librarian character, the black guy, and he talks about it's about his research into these events every time that it wakes up 27 years prior. It's about each one of those events. And what I was getting at when I said if they're going to expand it, because at least it's canon. You know, I don't want them adding, okay. like you said, a all whole right. bunch of shit.
Oh, so you mean the in-story interludes about the other things that happen.
Yeah, okay. yeah exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. yeah so it's like we see good. The fire at that the black spot and
sure.
the Claude Herdo or Hero, however, the guy with the axe who
oh, yeah, yeah.
everybody.
Yeah.
But no, the book is just there are things in the book, not even getting into quote unquote that scene that everybody talks about. there are things in the book you could probably never get away with. You would even yeah. probably be difficult to get it into an HBO series or Netflix.
I was super
series.
Happy that the quote unquote that scene was not in the movie because there was a rumor, if yeah. you remember, that they were leaving it in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, please don't.
Well,
do
how?
This. It made me uncomfortable when I was 12, yeah. man. Like, it was about children my own age the first time I read the book, and I cannot imagine sitting through something so horribly uncomfortable as an adult.
You know, it was – I was the same age when I read that. I was about 12 or 13, and I remember when I read it, I was kind of like – I didn't see it coming because it's not really – it's not a pornographic scene. It's just
– No,
and
it's
by
just,
the way, the scene that we're referring to for people that aren't familiar
yeah,
with
I'm
it.
Yeah, I'm not saying it.
Yeah, it's commonly – I don't even know if I want to say it, man. Like it's that fucking – I don't know if I want my voice –
To you want somebody to be able recorded. To sample you talking
yeah, exactly,
about this?
Saying those two words right next yeah. to each other. But it's
– I mean Bev gets choo-chooed.
Yeah,
right?
it's That's a train. It's a train. We'll say yeah, that. And it involves children. So
yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's to the point you're like, how the fuck did Stephen King ever – how did anybody get away with this? Like
yeah.
Lolita doesn't have anything in it like this yeah. and that's about –
I don't know how he turned in the manual. Like that shows the power that he had at the time because he was like – You know,
he was on top of his game.
He was on top of the world at yeah. that point, right?
He was the. I mean, he still is one. I mean, he's fucking legendary.
I mean, he could probably turn in anything he wanted, and they would publish it still, right? But yeah. it shows at the time that the book came out that they could have something like that happening. And it just shows me that publishers probably don't actually read a 1,000-page manuscript.
I think that's exactly what they're like. Stephen King, eh? All right, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, cool. man, let me start signs. This off. I'm going to skim a little here. Man, this is pretty good. All right, you got it, buddy.
All right. Yeah, but so but as I was saying, when I was 12, I read it and I didn't really – it was weird, but I didn't – and then the older I got, the more I was like, how the fuck did anybody – First of all, he was that was back in his drug period, so he was high yeah. on something when he wrote that. I mean, it's interspersed
most of the good stuff is
It is. That's right. True. Yeah. The scene is interspersed with this interdimensional mind game that the main character, Bill, plays with it. And there's, if you're familiar with Stephen King's work, the turtle makes an appearance and
Gan, right?
Yeah. And all this other really crazy shit is happening. So the drugs were very prevalent in it. But the movie is very smartly does not even – there is absolutely no reference to it. Although I have to say that when I saw the trailer with Eddie's cast and it said lover on it, somebody had changed the S. It says loser and somebody said – they don't even explain it. I thought – but I saw that and I was like, oh, my God. Like maybe they do something –
yeah,
like that.
You brought up that they don't explain that, and it passed completely over me that they didn't explain it.
I guess that's why they didn't bother, because they're like, enough people didn't notice it to where they were like, all right, maybe they originally.
I mean,
tried
I noticed.
Something
I thought it looked cool, right?
Yeah,
like I thought it was neat. You know, it's like a I think that loser with the red V through the S will be like an iconic, you know, I've already seen it online in a couple places. And
like people will get tattoos.
Like, oh, for sure. I think that's going to happen. Like I've already, like people have already said that to me, like the, oh, I'm thinking about getting that as a tattoo. And I'm like, what? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little.
Like, don't get it huge.
Yeah. Don't get it the way it is on his cast, on his arm. You know, I mean, if you want to, you can do whatever the hell you want, but you know. I think we talked about tattoos once, and I think you said the only thing that you would ever consider is a gunslinger tattoo.
Yeah, it's probably going to happen, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that's a great idea. That's the only thing, probably one of the only things I would consider. I wouldn't do the loser with the V on my arm.
Yeah, like right now, you know, I could commit any number of crimes. And, you know, I have nothing identifying other than like fat and bald, which is a lot of us. It's America.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not like I would be committing a crime in like fucking Germany or something where it's like, okay, we're on the lookout for a fat, bald guy.
Yeah. He's probably an American.
He's probably an American. It just says American.
Yeah. So anyway, so this book is just so expansive and so rich and so haunting, and it's current, like a book's current, how it's easily it tows you along with it, how easily the narrative holds your attention is just, for me, it's completely unparalleled. I haven't read it in a while. I will.
Yeah,
I have like four copies of the book.
For a 1,000-page book. I don't think I've ever talked to someone who sat down and actually read it, which it's intimidating when people are holding it, right?
If
you're
not
used to reading. I mean, it's an enormous book. I don't think I've ever spoken to someone who sat down to read it and didn't just destroy the book, like faster than they do a 300-page book.
Yeah.
You know, it sweeps you up and it carries you and takes you. It's a must read. It's one of the modern must reads.
Definitely. Yeah. If you like, it's to the point that, I mean, Stephen King is so prolific. He's got like 50 novels. People say this is definitely one that if you haven't read any Stephen King, you could start with this. I mean, I started with it.
Literally. The number of people I've bought that book for over the years is just insane too. Mm-hmm. It's second only to Dune.
Yeah. Right.
So Dune is my it.
Yeah. So anyway, though, this adaptation was actually announced back in 2009, I remember. And it could have gone. Usually when movies take this long to get made, it's not a good sign.
Did this also have Ron Howard attached to it at some point?
No, not that
was
I know
just
of.
The gunslinger.
No, this was originally, they didn't have a director for it. I remember when I first heard it announced, it was in March of 2009. The only reason I remember that is because of the American Idol contestants that were on that year.
Okay.
I won't get into how that correlates.
But fucking should be ashamed of yourself. That's how you count years.
Oh, not anymore.
So because it's not it's on gone, the air. But now everything is just this, you know, vacuous gray
void.
Void. Time just proceeds. There's no delineation.
Yeah, without American Idol, there is no measurement
left,
of time.
Yeah. Well, you got The Voice, right? So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, I've never watched The Voice, but I don't really watch. We won't get into that. Singing competitions are just, I outgrew those years ago. I actually hadn't watched Idol in like I mean, since 2012 was the last season that I watched
that's
it.
Good.
And I have absolutely no problem admitting that. But
that's good. You're admitting it like that's the last time you did heroin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, whatever. But back to it. It started, they announced it in 2009, and then there was really no news for a couple of years. And the next thing I heard about it, and, you know, the first season of True Detective came out in 2014. So that's quite a gap.
Fuck, in between, been that long.
Between 2009 and 2014.
Yeah.
And before you hear any news about it. But then that came out, and then I heard, well, that's the guy. The guy that directed that first season is going to be the guy who adapts it. And I was like, well.
Oh, fuck. That is the guy.
They're taking this quite seriously then. Because, I mean, that was – I didn't think it was – it didn't blow me away like it did some people.
Oh, what a schmuck I am. Because I even remember us having the conversation about that and me thinking, wow, that guy could probably do a really good job.
That's right.
But yeah. It totally vacated my brain. And I – yeah, that's why it's so good. That guy's great.
Mm-hmm. So
what a talented guy.
But it's funny though because – you know, as time went on, you know, I heard the concept of it, and I was like, just the idea of him being the one to do it. It's like, okay, yeah, great. It'll be scary, but it'll also be grounded in reality as much as a story like that can be. And it you know, okay, yeah, sign me up. But then as time went on, and I remember he cast Will Poulter, aka Eyebrows Guy, from We're the Millers, and he was just in Detroit.
Okay,
he's actually a really good actor. He's a really good character actor, and I really would have been interested to see what he did with Pennywise, but he dropped out like 2 years ago. I remember it was in 2015 when he parted ways, and then the script came out from his adaptation. I haven't read it, but from what I've read about it. It sounds like he really took a lot of liberties with the subject matter and everything. He was adding a bunch of stuff from his own childhood, which is, I mean, if it's good, it's good, right? But like again, getting back to the book, it's so good, you don't really need to add
anything.
Don't
fuck with it.
Yeah,
like, I mean, one of the things that I liked about the movie is that most of the things that happen, even though they're different than in the book, they are still like a version of what happened. In the book, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, the hypochondriac mom freaking out in the street instead of freaking out in the hospital, because that's a really long sequence. When you know, he breaks his arm, they combined things, you know, he broke his arm in the house instead of getting his arm broken by the bullies.
Yeah.
And so everything that needed to happen happened, you know, they just sort of condensed it a little bit.
Yeah.
And, I felt that they were really respectful of the source material, which is important when you're dealing with something like it, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, you're absolutely right with them condensing things in a proper manner. Another thing that they did that I thought was really well done was in the book, when it appears to each of the Losers Club individually. By the way, we're not really going to go through like what the story is about or anything. If you're listening to this, I'm just
going to assume
that.
No, I'm sure if people are listening, they have some, I mean, it's like the most popular movie in the United States and the world for 2 weeks running. Go watch the movie and then come back and listen to the
And that's on top of people already being familiar with the book and the original 1990 miniseries with Tim Curry.
Which I love. Tim Curry's phenomenal.
I mean, we'll get into that a little bit later, but
yeah, I'd like to.
As I was saying, one of the things that they did correctly or did respectfully was when it appears to each of the children in the books, it takes the form of various classic movie monsters from the 1950s. So you have the Wolfman, the Mummy, Frankenstein, stuff like
Rodan.
I love that. That was the one.
Because you're
I was
a Godzilla
really
fiend, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I was so hoping that we would get Rodan in this, but we didn't. But what we did get is all those interludes that I mentioned. They replaced those, movie monsters with basically not monsters, but they're all based on the interludes. Its appearances are based
correct.
On those interludes. So to when he appears to the fat kid, Ben, instead of appearing as the mummy, he appears as the headless kid who got blown up in the Kitchener ironworks explosion. To Mike, the black kid, he appears as the corpses from the black spot fire. Yep. So what they took out and replaced, they replaced with stuff that was already in the book. So
it was great.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Very well done there. Bill Skarsgård is Pennywise. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because this was such a – people are already comparing this to Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson with the Joker. I wouldn't go that far.
I can't go that far.
But
I can't go that
but
far.
But it was
he's got to die first before I can give it to him, right?
Well, I hope he does. I hope he doesn't. He's still got a whole other movie.
That's true. We'll give him his Oscar if he dies.
Yeah.
But we're not.
I thought that I was, to be perfectly honest, when they released the first picture of him, I thought this really doesn't, it really didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, okay, yeah. Well, there he is.
Yeah. I thought a lot of the production stills that were released did not tickle my fancy.
No.
You know?
And actually, I'm kind of happy it worked out that way. I would have much rather had it, you know, where I don't get hyped up and then it turns out to be better than it is than the other way around, obviously. But I remember that when I first started kind of thinking like, wow, this might be at least good is the first trailer that came out.
Yeah.
And then there were just the footage that was getting released. I remember the first footage they released of the kids, which was at the MTV Movie Awards, and it's the scene where they're at the entrance to the sewer pipe and Eddie's yelling at Richie about the staph infection.
Right.
And I was like, these kids are pretty damn good. They're
man,
really
the
quick.
Kids were so good.
Yeah.
Like he's really good as Pennywise. And I, you know, maybe the comparisons to Heath Ledger aren't so bad, right? Because he had, you know, Heath Ledger going into the Joker, like everyone was like, this is going to be a joke.
Yeah.
Like this is going to suck because who the fuck can follow up Jack Nicholson as the Joker?
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, you know, I mean, Tim Curry as Pennywise is the epitome of childhood fear because they saw that miniseries when they were kids and then they spent the next 6 years looking at their closet every night. Like, mm-hmm. Well,
that was when I first heard of it. It was about a clown in a sewer who eats children.
Yep. Yeah. That miniseries and then finding the gunslinger like at a garage sale on cassette tape is what got me into Stephen King.
Mm.
Because I listened to those cassette tapes and then I saw that miniseries and I was fucking terrified. And then I like put two and two together. I was like, oh, this is the same guy. I should read these books.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he had a hard, you know, he had a tough job that a lot of people maybe would have cracked under.
Yeah.
And
he was only 26 when he was doing this too.
Yeah. He's a young guy. I saw an interview with him. I was shocked. He's a young motherfucker, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes from an acting family, right?
Yeah, he's Stellan Skarsgård's son.
Yeah.
Alexander Skarsgård from True Blood is his older brother.
Yeah.
So this is now he's part of the pantheon of pop culture as well now.
I think that's something a lot of people forget is that the guy from True Blood is like the older Skarsgård's son.
Yeah, he's the eldest Skarsgård.
Yeah. That whole family, like, I mean, I'm sure it's like the Nordic genes in there, but man. It's like a really good looking family.
Yeah,
like all those people are super good looking. Yeah. Fuckers.
Yeah. Yeah. I have Nordic genes. I guess I didn't get any of the.
All right. It's not the Nordic genes then.
Yeah. I was about to say. Yeah. I didn't get any of the scars.
I'm just
genes.
Fucking with you. You're a beautiful fucker.
Oh, thank you. Getting back to the whole Tim Curry, Heath Ledger, blah, 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 blah comparison. I think what people are saying is that like you had this original iconic performance that really hadn't been – that was the definitive version, right? Like, and when it came out, people were like, okay, it's time for a definitive version. We need somebody to step up and give pop culture its, you know, its reference point for this character, right? And then that person came up. They were already a respected actor, and they delivered, and then it lasted for a generation. And now you have another adaptation come out. And with The Dark Knight, you know, it gets so overblown and all that you could get into, you know, how much it's overpraised and all that. But I mean, like that was just a fucking great, considering especially that people thought it was going to be a joke and then how
it's
a complete
really good,
180 on how people think about it now. I said that I did that the other week too. I said 360.
I did a 360.
Yeah.
I thought I was wrong, but I wasn't.
Again, I wouldn't go as far as to say Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise is not as good as Heath Ledger as the Joker,
but it's solid.
Opening scene, it was all hinging for me on that opening scene and what he was going to do with Pennywise's voice. And that scene that everybody knows about where the kid is talking to him in the sewer and then he gets his arm ripped off.
Yeah.
in the 90s miniseries, it was scary enough, and all it does is zoom in on his, Tim Curry's face as the fangs come out of his mouth. Right. In this one, you see the kid get his arm ripped off, and yep. he tries to crawl away, and he's screaming and gushing blood. And then the clown reaches out, grabs his leg, and yanks him into the sewer.
So, it was so good.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, I know it's right at the beginning, but that's when I was like, wow, this is –
okay, yeah.
This is okay.
Yeah, here we go.
Like, because it's two versions of the same scene, and they're both fantastic, mm-hmm. right? Which is tough. I mean, that's an iconic scene, and he wasn't copying. You know, that's the difficult thing when you have a follow-up to such an iconic role, right, is to do what everyone sort of wants you to do, but that's not what they're going to like, mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. for you to copy what came before.
Yeah.
And, you know, he does not do that at all.
No.
In fact, he's like way creepier than what I imagined in my head when I was reading the book. You know what I mean? Like sort of the twitching and like the
drooling and
yeah. I think the like the high pitch kind of
yeah.
like kind of voice is like creepier than like the sort of deep monstery voice that I had always
yeah that Tim Curry did
yeah right? yeah. yeah and I mean my images when I was reading the book were completely molded by the miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was like, man, this is creepy as fuck. And this guy's knocking it out of the park, man.
Well, I remember when he got cast, and this was again, originally they had cast Will Poulter. So they were already going for a younger Pennywise. Mm-hmm. I should mention though, other names that got brought up that Cary Fukunaga wanted before Will Poulter was originally cast, Ben Mendelsohn. He was in Rogue One, and he's yeah. on Bloodline. He's a really good actor. He was in The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Rylance, who was in Dunkirk this past summer. He also won Best Supporting Actor for Bridge of Spies. And he's a very respected theater actor in England. And Hugo Weaving was another name that was thrown around. Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Yeah. I'm glad it wasn't him. As much as I like that guy.
Yeah. It's like he's already been in enough.
He's highly known. That guy's face is already so many things mm-hmm. that I can't do anymore.
Yeah, he's already Elrond. He's already Agent Smith.
Gotta stop.
We are good. Can't have him as Pennywise.
He's like everything, right? Anytime they need a weird guy with like
a bad guy.
Strange mannerisms, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the guy they go to.
Red Skull goes on.
Yeah. Again. Yeah, he was Red Skull. I forgot that.
They had been originally looking.
Remember that shit so well. I fucking remember any of it, dude.
It's someday I hope to be able to, I hope it comes in handy someday, you know, for.
Yeah,
I hope it,
a game
it's,
show.
Yeah, something.
Yeah,
but So they were originally going for these more typical, what you would think, these older, respected character actors.
Yeah,
and then they cast Will Poulter, who's a good actor. He's a good character actor, but it was young, and it was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, what angle are they going? And then they cast Bill Skarsgård after Cary Fukunaga dropped out, and I was like, they're still going for a younger guy. And he was also an unknown. Like, he really yeah. hadn't done anything. Big. Yep. I mean, we knew his last name, but other than that. I was like, what the hell is the angle here? And then right after the trailer came out, I started reading into it more, and I found out what they were going for is that they wanted Pennywise to kind of be a kid, like to kind of be playful. And I was like,
some
that's
childish mannerisms.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And I thought that's actually a really
makes
interesting
sense. That's
way
smart.
Of doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because one of the complaints that people have when the pictures of Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise were first released was he's too scary. No kid is going to willingly walk towards that. And no kid is going to get close enough to that for him to reach out and grab him.
Well, they're fucking underestimating the Losers Club, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. but I thought if he's acting playful and childish, and funny, like a clown is supposed to be, then okay, yeah, that works. And also, kids are way more likely to go to be comfortable around a younger person than an older person. I mean, well, I may have just made that up on, you know,
yeah,
right
you
now,
totally.
But
I need citation for that. Where's a footnote?
For me, anyway, like when I was a kid, I would be more inclined to, like, you know, you said Bill Skarsgård's a good looking dude. Like, I would be, you know, more inclined to trust him than I would Mark Rylance. So, I could see nothing against Mark Rylance, but so I could see what they were going for there.
I hate old people, Alex.
Oh, man. I think we're coming up on break time here. We'll take our 10-minute break here, and then we'll be back. We're going to run over a little bit tonight, like I mentioned, because we got a little bit of a late start. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the 90s miniseries because we didn't really get into that. We'll continue to discuss the new adaptation and such.
Find something to whine about.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll find something to whine about while we're at it. Yeah.
I'm still high on that movie, so it's going to be hard for me to think of something I don't like.
Yeah, I think we'll come up with something. We got 10 minutes, so. Yeah. All right, well, we'll talk to you in 10 minutes.
Or
PodcastDetroit.com, American Whiner. We are back talking about Stephen King's It, specifically the new movie adaptation. I'm here with Don Woolley, my good friend. I was talking over the break really quick. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you're the first returning guest we had. It's appropriate because if it wasn't for you, this show wouldn't have happened because you're the person who I heard about Podcast Detroit through. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, it's a great place. I love it here.
Yeah, yeah. This is really fun to do this once a week. It's nice to sit in front of a microphone and talk.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I feel so nice here. You know, if you listen to a lot of podcasts, which I listen to a shitload, mm-hmm. right? You know, you can always hear, you know, there's probably some good, I mean, I know there are because I listen to them. Like there's really good topical podcasts that are great, but you can hear that it sounds like the guy's recording it in his fucking bathroom.
Yeah.
Right. And,
yeah.
You know, the guy's doing the best he can, but if more places like this existed, you know, you could get a really good sound quality podcast put out there, and it doesn't really cost all that much.
No, it's a relatively cheap hobby to have. So
yeah.
But anyway,
so they have beer, you know.
Yeah, and there's open bar too, which is like, I mean, that alone is
yeah.
I mean, you don't even need the podcast thing. I mean, an open bar alone will attract people. So.
Never have a problem getting guests.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody is. I say this every time somebody comes here. They're so happy to see. It's like, oh, I can loosen up. You know, if they're
right.
Some most of them aren't nervous because
we just start pounding shots.
Musicians, but
can't do the podcast.
Yeah. Well, some people do overdo it. They get a little.
I've overdone it here.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I've overdone it here a couple times.
Yeah. I stick with a Diet Coke or a PBR. This is one of the two, depending on how I'm feeling.
Yeah, the guys I was here with before like to just crank shots. You mm-hmm. know, they did a 2-hour podcast, so they'd have like a pretty long break in the middle, and they would like to just go and just like hammer down as many shots. And I'm like, fuck, man.
Yeah, you could tell when I listened to them. Like, I remember
the second
asking
half me, like, of the show was just a
yeah,
fucking
these
disaster.
Guys are, like, but anyway.
it was great. It was good fun.
So we didn't really get too much into the 1990 miniseries. And I, like I said, that was the very first time that I ever heard of it. My brother and I, we were kids, and we used to – when. His bedroom was down the hall from mine, and our parents would put us to bed. And we'd have to go to bed, and sometimes we'd come around. We'd just start fucking around in the hallway because we didn't feel like going to sleep. And I remember one time my brother put a blanket over his shoulders, and he like appeared in my doorway, and he said, "I am it, the evil clown." And I had no idea what that was, but I thought that's a great idea. And then I talked to my mom about it, and it turned out that this It, the evil clown, was an actual thing. And she's like, and she told me about the sewer scene. I was probably like 9 or 10. I don't know why she would have brought that up. But I remember her saying, quote, "He pulls the kid into the sewer and eats him." And at the time I was like, wow, that's terrifying and also very intriguing. And
I just have this image of your mom like looming over you. And then... the clown pulls him into the sewer and eats him.
Actually, she was really nonchalant about it. She was like, she said she was, I think she might have been driving.
It might even be more horrifying than she just nonchalantly, rips his arm off and eats him, kid.
Well, she was like, because I asked her what it was about, and she's like, well, yeah, it's about a clown that lives in the sewer, and a kid's talking, and he's like, I remember she was like, and he goes, "Hi there." And then I'm like, well, and then what happens? And then she like shrugged and she was like, and then he pulls him into the sewer and eats him. So I was intrigued by that. And then I think it wasn't long after, maybe a couple of years at the most, that I finally read the book and we were off to the races. But the 1990 miniseries, I saw that. I rented it from the video store not long after reading the book. And Tim Curry obviously was he did very good job. It was a 1990s TV miniseries, so very, very
the cheesy, production value very, is hard to get past.
Yeah, yeah. But they did what they could with it, and for
didn't
the time,
age well, right?
But. Yeah, for the time, it was pretty good. But the hell was I going to say? Tim Curry,
he's good in everything he was in.
Yeah, he really is.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's I wish he was still working as much. I mean, he had a stroke a couple of years ago, so he can't really. He's not as mobile as he used to be, but my God, everything that guy did. He was like one of the first actors when I was a kid that I could name. Like he was one of the first guys that I could recognize and know, because he was in Home Alone 2. He was in Fern Gully.
Legend. Oh man, he's so, like, that character is so cool in Legend. Like,
yeah,
the devil.
Yeah. I like you, my gifts.
So many people haven't seen that movie these days. It's so good.
And then it was a good, I didn't see the Rocky Horror Picture Show until 2010. I remember I was in my friend's basement.
Holy fuck.
And I was high and I'd never seen
it. Oh,
and,
that's
and,
good. That's and, a good that you saw that the first time high.
Yeah. And I wasn't really even paying attention to it because I didn't really care. But then the song Sweet Transvestite started and I was like, holy shit, that's Tim Curry. Oh my God, this is a really good fucking song. And I was like, I love this. This is amazing.
Yeah,
I see
he's
why.
So good in that. Clue.
Clue, that's right.
Oh, yeah. God, Clue. Yep. Yeah, man. He's so great. I love him. Yeah. I love him to death. He's one of those guys that's like, you just, even if everything that's happening around him, like Clue.
Yeah.
Like, even the rest of the movie is just fucking stupid, but like, he's
I
so
liked
good.
It was funny, but.
I like it too, but
yes,
it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But he's so good in it that he just saves that movie. If he wouldn't have been in it, no one would remember that movie.
Yeah, yeah. So we're being so freaking positive. We're just gushing praise over everything.
Yeah, and like, I know. I'm ruining movie, your fucking podcast.
No. I'm segueing because I wanted to ask you over the break. We were like, well, we should whine about something. I liked this new It adaptation. I didn't love it. So what didn't you like about the new It adaptation?
It's hard for me to find things to really nitpick about it, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like they changed the time period for, you know, in the book that they're children in the late 50s. And then in the when they're adults, it's in the 80s. And there's something sort of magical about that late 50s time. Mm-hmm. You know, Stephen King has spent a lot of time writing. And it's not just because that's the time when he was a little kid, you know, like there's something that's sort of like pre-Kennedy assassination, you know, pre-Vietnam, American innocence, you know, when, yeah, there were a lot of problems, but, you know,
overall,
no one really understood that there were problems and everyone, you know, there's just a feeling of innocence about the time period that maybe you don't have if you lived through it as an adult. Right, especially if you weren't like, you know, a middle class adult, right?
Middle class white person.
I wasn't gonna say, but yeah, if you weren't a middle class white person, like maybe the innocence of that area is a little tainted.
Yeah,
but you know, there's something about that period, you know, the Norman Rockwell kind of thing, and to have the story taking place in this, what is normally considered, you know, the most idyllic modern era.
That's the word, idyllic.
And it's like all of these horrifying things happening during that period. And then when they're grownups is in the 80s, which is, you know, we've moved past, you know, the peace movement has failed miserably. You're in Wall Street greed era, you know.
What's the difference, right?
Like you're in like the complicated mess of the end of the Cold War. You know, I mean, just a really shitty decade by most estimations.
The start of our hyper-capitalist dystopia.
Right. And so, the book never overtly says that, just like none of his stories really ever overtly say that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But there's a huge difference in those two time periods. I feel like there's not really a huge difference from the 80s to now in terms of
the 80s being idyllic and today being
like maybe there are young people who feel like the 80s were idyllic, but I mean
just
the 80s
were
a fucking shit show, you know. I mean the world was falling apart. Like, everyone knew the Middle East was a problem.
Even if you were a kid, you knew there were problems in the
1980s. You know, you thought the atomic clock or whatever was counting down to midnight. We were all going to die in a nuclear war. Mm-hmm. You know, so it doesn't have the stark contrast to have these kids running away from this, you know, child killing demon. It sort of just like makes sense. Yeah, of course there's a child killing demon because
it's the 80s.
It's the 80s. Why wouldn't there be a child killing, fucking monster living in the sewers? But like I say, I'm reaching pretty hard to find something. You know, I know why they did it, because they want when they're grown ups to be in the modern day.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you on all of that. That was actually the one thing that I was really disappointed about, is that they weren't going to have it be a period piece with the 50s and the 80s. I think that you really lose something. You could do the 80s as when they're kids, but then when you bring them in to now, you have to add all this technology, because that's really what defines right. our era, is the internet and all this the social media and everything else. And how the hell is that going to play into how Pennywise operates? Does he appear? I swear to God, if he appears on a smartphone screen and says something, I'll probably won't have a problem with it. But it depends on how they do it.
It could suck.
If they overdo it, it could be
right.
It could not.
I mean,
be good.
You know, monsters aren't as scary when you can call 40 people at the same time for help.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, I guarantee
it's
you.
It's not as scary for Pennywise to kill you when you're like fucking, you know, Snapchatting him with a dog face while he's coming at you.
Well,
like,
I was about to say.
He's got his thought filter going.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I guarantee you their cell phones are, I mean, obviously cell phones probably don't work in the sewer anyway, but their cell phones will not work.
Maybe that's what's the scariest part, right? Yeah. Is they're down there and they're like, fuck, man.
I can't call anybody. I can't text anyone.
What do we do, guys? I can't fucking Instagram the fact that I just had a train ran on me.
Yeah. who am I going to tell about it? How's everybody going to know? I completely agree with you there. I will say, for me, another thing that I didn't really like was the way that Pennywise was ultimately defeated. In the book I mentioned earlier, there's this interdimensional mind game that Bill, the main kid, plays with Pennywise, and it's way more involved and it's really trippy. And in the movie, they literally just beat on him and he falls into a well. And it didn't really.
And they sort of downplay they think it will hurt him, so it does. Like, they believe it will hurt him, so it does.
Yeah.
Like, they play up the fear thing. Which, you know, in the book, he just says it makes the meat taste better.
Yeah, which I loved that line. I think I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it's like salting the meat.
Meat. That's what he says.
Yeah.
So they play up the fear, and they play down the fact that, you know, for as powerful and as omnipotent feeling as he is, he still has a rule framework that he has to play within.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they believe that something will hurt him, it does.
Yeah.
Right. And they did that in the miniseries because, he's like, it's battery acid.
Yeah. With
bitch.
His inhaler.
And he like sprays the inhaler at him and it burns him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they did that a little bit, but I can't remember what it was, but they did it a little.
Mm-hmm.
But they played up, the we're not afraid of you thing.
Yeah.
So that was okay. But I mean, they didn't. You know, I understand they're limited for time and they got to cut things. But in the book, it's way cooler that they spend a lot of time like debating about, we need silver because that's how you kill monsters.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And then
they do this. There's a smokehouse scene where they see how it comes.
Yes.
To Earth. They do like this ancient Indian ritual.
Right.
Where they dig a hole in the ground, put wood over the top of it, and then have fire inside, and the smoke gets
in the losers'
high.
Clubhouse. Yeah. They do like a like an 11-year-old ayahuasca ritual.
Exactly, that's the word I couldn't think of what the word was, but yeah, that's exactly it. All of that is set up by the time the movie ends, and it all kind of gets wrapped up neatly. But in this one, it was just kind of like, he's. you know, we're gonna what the hell happened to his head? It's like his head just kind of starts to fall apart and there's this blackness inside his head.
Yeah.
And then he whispers, he goes, "Fear." And then he just plunges like Gandalf into the well. Another thing that they kind of just copped out on was Henry Bowers, the bully. In the book, he follows the losers into the sewer just like he does in the movie.
Yeah.
But his friends are with him and it kills his friends horribly, which was right. It's like his friends are in it from the beginning and then they just kind of disappear.
Yeah.
But he just falls down the well. And in the book, it's like, what the hell happened to him? Because in the book, he grows up. He's coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping he comes back as a surprise, maybe.
Oh, I think he will. I don't see how you can not have him.
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah. So that was another thing, was the way that Pennywise was defeated. One thing I will say about that scene that I did like was where he was actually dancing. A lot of people, it seems, are making fun of that, where he's doing that kind of Russian jig in front of those explosions and stuff. But I thought that was just absurd enough to be funny for me.
Yeah, and like, I mean, and you know, I didn't realize when I was watching it, like you said, like, oh, that's the scene where they show you how Pennywise came.
Yeah, all those explosions behind him are when that's what they see in the book in the smokehouse scene. Right. It comes in. It's basically a meteor.
And my mind was stuck so much in like the 80s period piece that I just saw like atomic bombs or, you know what I mean? I was like,
that could work too. Yeah.
Bombs. Like, which, I mean, they're getting really good at making 80s period pieces, right? Between Stranger Things and this, like, it's fucking weird. Like, they're really good at it.
Well, it's time. All the kids that
maybe
grew
that's
up
why
in
they
the
don't
80s.
Do 50s anymore, because they're running out of props, right? Like, all the shit's broken.
Well, and all the people that were kids in the 50s are now old, so they're not going to spend money on this shit, whereas the people who were kids in the 80s are just now coming
into...
Yeah, they're
on fixed income, so fuck them as a target audience.
Well, I mean, the thing is it's just we're the we, you know, I wasn't a kid in the 80s. I don't really remember the 80s. I'm a 90s kid, but
no comment. I remember little 80s. I remember a little.
Well, you were an 80s kid, weren't you? Is it really as great as they? I mean, you were saying earlier it's freaking you know,
it was
you knew
a fucking
that they were
shit show, dude. Yeah. Everything sucked. Everything was fucking pastel. Everyone wore, you know, one thing that I saw, I think the scariest part of the movie for me was the kid's mom, like the really overweight mom.
Yeah, Eddie Kasprak's
Eddie Kasprak's mom with like her fucking monocolored jumpsuit that was like that swishy material.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember that shit.
That actually was a thing.
That was
then,
a fucking thing. Like you would see moms and old ladies like walking around the neighborhood in these like, and like the shoulders were like a different color, but it was like a fucking stretchy pant. Not even like stretchy pants of the day, like not yoga pants like now, right? But like elastic waist and elastic ankles, and like the bottom and top matched, and people would be, you know, this is the Midwest, so like they would just be like no shame in it at the grocery store wearing these matching fucking things, and you could just hear the sea of like shh 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 as they walked around wearing these fucking outfits, right? Just probably, you know, it was too bright to see it, but it's, you know, it's covered in fucking cat hair.
Yeah.
Right. So that was I was like, oh God, I haven't thought about that shit since I was like 5 or 6 years old.
So they did their research then.
They did their research, or, you know, they just had someone come in and was like, what was the ugliest fucking thing you ever saw in the 80s? Right.
So it's the sequel is coming out. They announced it for 2019. It's going to be, I'm sure it'll be great.
So
I'm calling this now.
It's not that far away, man. I was so hoping it was next year.
Yeah, it's only 2 years, man. I want them to take their time and get it right.
Old, man. I may not be around.
You'll be fine.
That shit to be out now.
But I'm going to call this now. Jessica Chastain will play adult Beverly. I know it because she's already worked with this director and she'd be perfect for the role. She's the right age.
Who's this?
Jessica Chastain.
What else has she been in?
She was in The Martian. She was in The Help. She was in Zero Dark 30. What else? She's been in a lot. She was in Crimson Peak.
Oh, The Martian. Yeah, she was the
commander.
She was the commander. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, yeah.
She would be good. Yeah. She'd be good.
No ideas for who else they're going to get. I've heard Bill Hader is a name that gets thrown around for Richie, who's Finn Wolfhard, the kid from Stranger Things, his adult character.
I hope there's a few flashbacks with the kids.
They are planning on doing that. Okay, I did read they're going to do that. They're going to do more of the interdimensional shit.
Okay.
So that's
hopefully
smart.
This was successful enough that they feel a little leeway to.
Yeah, right? I do think that is one good thing that's going to come of this is that now they're like, okay, we know it makes money, so let us put in what
we want to put in. Right. Yeah. I hope they give them a few million, let them go do some reshoots, and then release like a 3.5 hour version of this one.
There is going to be a director's cut of this too. Yeah. It's 15 extra about. Minutes.
We live in the era of director's cuts now.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm going to buy the Blu-ray when it comes out, most likely. I buy a movie.
Going 4K.
Oh, like 4K?
Yeah.
What?
Get that extra K. A couple extra K in there.
But we're coming up on the end here. So this has been a great discussion. I think this is the quickest, the show has ever gone for me.
Nice.
After that drive, and then I woke up like right as I was needing to leave, and I was like, oh fuck, I gotta go. And it was really great talking to you about this.
Thanks for having me again.
The show is gonna start to turn into more of this. It's gonna be, instead of me interviewing the person for the first half hour, we're just gonna jump right into the topic.
All right.
I'm gonna start having multiple people on. So you'll be back. I mean, I didn't even know you were going to be on today until yesterday. So
yeah,
could be sooner than
I love
we think.
Coming in. So whenever you want me to be here, if I'm available, I'll be here.
Awesome,
If I'm in the area, it's lucky because I'm working close now, right?
So. Yeah. Well, thank God for that too. And so I will be back next Wednesday. I already have my guest lined up. It's a friend show, Friend Wednesday. Really excited about that one. And I'm actually booked up now, until like the end of October. Now that I think about it, I have everybody, unless somebody cancels, everybody's booked up right now, or at least I have somebody scheduled and I'm just waiting to hear them confirm it. So I will be back next Wednesday. Don, again, thank you so much for coming in.
Love to be here.
And I will talk to everybody then. This is American Whiner, podcastdetroit.com. I'm going to say that again. American Whiner, podcastdetroit.com. Everybody have a great week.